May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 983. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. Hymn 983. Read together from the Holy Word of God, the Book of Psalms, Psalm 94. Psalm 94. If you're joining with one of the Bibles from the Bible box outside the chapel, that is page 591. 591. Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defence and my God, is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. The Lord bless to us that reading of his holy word, and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we would bow before thee who hast formed the earth and all that is in it, hast made the sun, the moon and the stars. Lord, we have heard, we have read in thy word, that thou dost hear, that thou dost see, that thou dost know. And O Lord, we would humble ourselves before thy almighty hand. O Lord, thou knowest us here as we gather here in Swayze Chapel this evening, and thou knowest the needs of each soul here, and thou knowest our need that we be made the messenger in thy message, that thou would speak to this people. Be not silent unto us, lest if thou be silent unto us, we become like them that go down into the pit. Wherein is it known that thou art our God and we are thy people, that this is the church, this is the candlestick, He appointed in Swayze. This is a people that thou hast formed. Lord, we do seek that it might be known in this, that thou dost speak to them through the ministry of the word, that there are those here that have that mark of a sheep. My sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. And Lord, if there is any here that has the first mark, they hear thy voice, but as yet have not followed thee in the ordinances of thy house. Do grant, Lord, that they might be sweetly constrained to follow on with that great blessing of having an ear open to hear thy word. Lord, we know that where thou dost give us to hear thy word, there are directions, there are exhortations, there are warnings, there are things to hear, there are things to act upon. And, O Lord, we do seek that we might be a people that are willing in the day of thy power. O Lord, we do pray for those that feel and know that what sinners that they are. Lord, remember those that mourn this evening over a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and they know it. O Lord, do remember those that mourn over their sins and after thee. Those, O Lord, who have come for thy house this evening seeking for that help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion, that maybe cannot hope that thou shouldst comfort them, feeling how they are such sinners. But, Lord, do be pleased to send forth thy word and do speak it in peace and comfort and joy and delight to the souls of thy people. May there be those that respond that it is my beloved, and that we might see him and hear him coming and see him through the lattice of thy word and hear him coming through thy word. Lord, we do pray for those sacred, blessed visits. Lord, for thou hast said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And may this evening be one of those such times when thou dost come to thy people. We pray, Lord, that thou dost remember each case here. Lord, we have our dear aged friends in the increasing infirmities and weaknesses and the realization that their days are numbered by a natural way. Lord, whether we are young, we know not how long we have here. But those, O Lord, that are in increased years and over the 80 years and 10 or even over the 80, Lord, we know that time cannot be long. And so, Lord, do be pleased to bless them, especially with that good hope through grace, a hope in thy mercy, that they might be able to testify and feel within of what they have in a hope in a precious Jesus. We do thank thee for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him who came to this world, made bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, took on him the seed of Abraham. Lord, we thank thee for his perfect life and obedience, and we do thank thee for that sacrificial death upon Calvary's tree. The empty tomb, arisen Saviour, thine intercession in heaven, we bless thee for it. And we do seek, Lord, that blessing, not only on our dear aged friends, but, Lord, those who are younger. Lord, we feel the infirmities increase, and do be with our dear brother in his affliction. We thank thee for that measure of healing. Do go on to strengthen him further, and do remember others also in their afflictions and their trials. And Lord, do be pleased to be with those that bear the burden and heat of the day, that maybe their trials are through the multitude of business and things that they have to attend to. Lord, help us to lay aside every weight, to sit at thy feet this evening. And those of us that have a tendency to be like Martha, cumbered about with much serving, Lord, help us, Lord, to lay aside those things of this day, busy as it may have been, and to hear thy word this evening. Lord, we thank thee for the children, the young people that are here this evening, and do bless them and do be with them. And any, Lord, that are joining online, whether young or old, we seek to commit them unto thee as well. We think, Lord, of those that are with thee, younger children at home looking after them. And, Lord, do thou be pleased to be with them. And any that are sick and detained from coming to thy house, we thank thee where there is that ability to listen from home. And we do pray, Lord, thy blessing on those who may join in that way. Lord, we do seek thy blessing upon the word of God that goes forth in this place. Each Bible that has been taken from outside this chapel, we pray, Lord, that not only the Bible might be received, that the words that it contains be received, and that when it is read, that they fall under that word and brought into a concern for their souls and brought to hear the word here and to be fed under the ministry here. We do seek, Lord, thy blessing upon the church, and do bless them, do bless the deacons both together, and do be pleased to be with our dear brother at the desk today, and do bless the hymns that are given out. Be with him, Lord, in his pathway. We do commit him unto thee. And, Lord, do remember each of the congregation. May, Lord, thy blessing be upon this place and in thy word. Lord, do remember those that seek guidance and direction in life's journey. Oh, Lord, we thank thee. Where there is a beginning, instead of just consulting self to be able to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst guide thy people according to thy promise. I will guide thee with mine eye. Do remember those that have no concern for their soul, whether they are attending or whether they absent themselves from the house of God. Do grant, Lord, that a concern might be raised up, that there be a seeking after thee. Do unsettle any that are settled in just an outward attendance at the means of grace, or even an outward profession. Lord, do grant us day by day the witness of thy Spirit, that thou dost speak to us and walk with us, and that we have that communication from thee, that we might be able to say with the apostle, for to live is Christ, to die is gain, and that we might be enabled to say that thou art our shepherd, and that thou dost lead us forth into those green pastures and beside the still waters. Lord, thou didst feed the children of Israel all the 40-year wilderness journey. Thou didst give them manna from heaven. Moses, thou didst say, gavest thou not manna from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true manna. Lord, do grant us that. Thou didst reprove those who followed for the loaves and the fishes, and thou didst bid them and say, labour not for the bread that perisheth, but for that which endureth unto everlasting life. And Lord, do grant us that bread this evening. And may we know it, Lord, day by day. Thou hast bid us to pray in that form of prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, may that witness be that we are thine, that thou dost feed us from thy table. We think of Mephibosheth, lame on both his feet, and yet he sat at the king's table and received the king's meat. Lord, remember those here that feel deformed in every part, and yet, Lord, that thou dost supply them from the king's table, even crumbs from the master's table. Lord, we do thank thee where that is so. We pray that it might be so with each of thy people. O keep us close to thee, provided with that heavenly manna, and that we might have that until we need it no more, until we pass over the river of the Jordan of death and taste of those pleasures evermore in thy immediate presence. O Lord, forgive, pardon, blot out our many, many sins. Lord, those things that grieve us, and what must they be in thy sight? Wash and cleanse us from all uncleanness. Grant us a tender conscience, a teachable spirit, a hatred of sin. Thou said, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. And Lord, we do seek that we might be of those who sigh and cry on account of the abominations done in the land. And Lord, we trust we do. We feel it very much when we hear many things of what are said and done, especially in the professing church. But Lord, we thank thee for those that have been raised up, that are able to speak, that are able to have a platform and a voice. And Lord, we do thank thee for them. Pray that they might be wonderfully upheld and strengthened and blessed in their own souls, and that thou hast raised up others and give them also a voice, that thou hast given a spiritual revival in this land. Pour out thy spirit again. Grant, Lord, again that there might be that real turning, a real change, and we notice it and see it in our churches and see it in our families, see it in our own soul. O Lord, we do pray for thy people in every nation and kindred and tongue. We think of those that are in war-torn Ukraine, those that have been affected in the terrible earthquakes in Turkey and Syria, those of the loved ones of the 55,000 that have perished in those earthquakes. We pray for many that will be in bereavement and sorrow there. And, O Lord, those who have no homes and no place of stay, we would thank thee and we pray that we might be delivered from every murmuring, complaining and unthankful thought. O Lord, when we see the unrest in our land, Lord, and yet those in other lands suffering so much, do grant us godliness with contentment, which is great gain. Do bless us with day by day a thankful heart unto thee, feeling to ascend to thee, not just for temporal, but for spiritual blessings. And Lord, may this gathering tonight be another occasion that we give thanks to thee. Lord, some of us can remember times in the house of God and visits that we will always remember, and that even when we forget, thy Spirit brings them back. And do make this such a time to favour Zion, a time of blessing, a time of help, a time of answer to prayer, a time when thou dost get to thyself honour and glory and blessing and praise in blessing thy people with grace and with the visits of thy face. Lord, we ask thee these mercies, thy help now to give the word and to give a hearing ear and to give thy blessing. O command it, we beseech thee. Be with each in bereavement, comfort them, and be with each in affliction. We ask thee these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 177. Soon as faith the Lord can see, bleeding on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart, Jesus gets and fills my heart. Hymn 177.
Thank you.
seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to Psalm 94. Psalm 94 and verse 19. Verse 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Psalm 94 and verse 19. There are several things that I want to just draw your attention to before I come to some main points this evening. The first is this: in our text it speaks of comfort. And God's dear people are those that have been brought to know and to feel their sin and the hell within. They know what it is to come under the chastening hand of God, under the law of God, bring them to know and to feel their sinnership. And they are those that need comfort. And yet they are those also that would put comfort far from them, because they say, well, if you really knew what my sins were, if you really knew my life and what I do, I don't deserve comfort. I need the rod. I look that the Lord would deal with me hardly. And yet there is that which longs for that comfort that is set before us in the Word of God. And that is the other thing that I want to make very clear right at the start, because we remember that how the Lord started his ministry in quoting the verse in Isaiah 61, and how that he sat down and he spoke, said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." And the Lord began his ministry opening the Word of God and reading these words: "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." The Isaiah especially speaks in many parts in the same vein. Isaiah 40, same first verse: comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. So here is God speaking to sinners. He's speaking to men, speaking to those not that are hardened in sin, not in the world, not that don't know their sin, but those that do know their sin and that are mourning over it. When our Lord taught on the in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that mourn. Why are they blessed? For they shall be comforted." That is why. And so we see in the scriptures there is that expectation for those that are mourners, for those that are grieved of their sin and burdened of their sin, that there is comfort set forth in the gospel and in the Word of God, even for them that have sinned, even for them that feel, well, that they don't deserve comfort because of what sinners that they are. The other thing that I mentioned, we're going to look at this bit more later on. The Lord's dear people, in common with all of mankind, still have that old nature. We will still have a body of death that goes about with us everywhere. And part of that body of death is a multitude of vain thoughts. We have in verse 11 of Psalm 94, where we are here, we have that the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. In Psalm 119, the psalmist says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. We must not think that just because we are plagued with many vain thoughts and we cannot dislodge them and get rid of them, that we cannot have the true and real work of God in our souls. In our text we read, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, in them, thy comforts delight my soul. If you might think of it like this, you might be called in employment or whatever it was to be in a multitude of people, and they're all worldly people. I think, can there be in amidst all of these people anyone of God's children? Can there be anything good here? And you might find one of the Lord's people that you didn't expect to be there, and there they are. And yet there's a multitude of all of those that are not. And you have this picture of a multitude of thoughts, and there in the midst of them, there's the Lord's comforts that are comforting the soul. Sometimes there's things that we find very hard to reconcile. How can it be that I be a child of God when I'm thinking all these things? How can these things go together? How can I really be walking in the Spirit when I've got these conflicts and these troubles and these things that are going on? And yet you get verses like this when we have the picture that that is indeed so. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And so it is in this way I want to bring this word before you, and to those especially that you want real things. You know, heaven is a real place. Years ago, I was shocked to hear one of my own relatives, who was young at the time, but brought up in our chapels, and he said, do you think heaven is a real place? He says, isn't it just what you think when you die? If you think good thoughts when you die, then that's heaven. If they're evil thoughts, then that's hell. You've been brought up as a child in our chapels. How real to us is heaven? How real do we understand the world that is to come, that you and I must be a part of soon? Either in hell, shut out from God forever, or else with God. And the Apostle Paul says, then shall we know even as we are known. God knows us the same as we know each other, we can see each other, hear each other, and God sees us exactly as we are. But of course, God, he knows our thoughts, our intentions and everything. But heaven is a very real place. We shall have bodies just like we have now, real bodies there in the resurrection. But when we realize the reality of that, we want a real experience of the Lord's blessing here. Whatever the Lord has determined should be the lot, the portion, the blessing of the child of God here. You say, I want that. I don't want vain thoughts. I don't want imagined blessings. I don't want just to take a for granted religion. I want that which is solid and real. Just as real as I expect to be with the Lord in heaven at last. But when you get all of these thoughts in the middle of all of these things, how can we divide what is real and what is not, what is from the Lord and what is from the world? And so we must be very careful in thinking first, the flesh will always be flesh and it will have those vain and empty thoughts. But in the midst of those, for God's people, there is something different. And that's what's in our text. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. So I want to look first at the multitude of my thoughts, in the multitude of my thoughts, just briefly on this first point. And then secondly, thy comforts. What are thy comforts? And then thirdly, the effect of the comforts on the soul. We're told here in the text, thy comforts delight my soul. But firstly, in the multitude of my thoughts. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the Philippians and he speaks to them of those things that they are to think upon. Think upon those things that are true, those things that have virtue, those things that are lovely, those things that are pure. Think on these things. And why does he write in that way? Because the natural man, it goes after vain things and empty things. And if you're like me, how quickly it happens. You know, I went for a walk in the woods this morning. And usually those times are times I pray a love that might have real meditation of the Lord. And I started off in that way. But, you know, after it got a little while, I suddenly realised and I thought, what are you thinking of? My mind had gone off into all sorts of things. And, you know, it's like the hymn writer says, creatures of fear, we fear where no fear is. And so many things are imagined. We can imagine conversations and what we're saying, what someone else is saying. And we can imagine situations and sometimes we live in a world and you think, how much is that which is real? But you know, you go to a library, a local library, and you see rows and rows of books, and what does it have on the top? Fiction. Fiction. And all it is, they're books that are written, are the figment of the imagination of men and women, and they put it down. If we can't live something real, we'll imagine it. And then we can put it as a beginning what we want and the end what we want and we can make it just what we want. And thousands are living in such deceit like that way. And it's a great blessing if we can discern that and see that. And we say, I don't want my life to be just imagined. I want truly to think on those things which are true and real and have virtue and are pure and are holy. But our old nature all the time will try to drag us back. And don't think that God's children are immune from that. They're not. But it troubles them, it plagues them, it catches them unawares. It did me this morning. I thought I wasted quite a bit of my time and my walk on these foolish thoughts before I realised what it was. And to bring them back. And you can be in the Lord's house like that. Even something the minister says, and it trips something off, and your mind goes off, and you think, I've missed 10 minutes of the sermon thinking of those things. And all these multitude of thoughts, what a description. How many of you here can say that in the text, that describes what goes on? I have multitude of thoughts that go in my head. And I don't need to consciously bring them in. They just come in. Well, the Lord says here, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity, that they're empty, they're vanity. The amazing thing is that in the midst of all that with his children, though the Lord hasn't, and he can do it, he can banish them in a moment. Prove that. He can put them all to flight and he can take them all away. But in the midst of those, our text says, in the multitude of my thoughts. As if you would say, you don't have to get all of those banished first. in the midst of it. It's like where the word speaks of the blessings that in trial and in trouble. We don't wait until we get out of that trouble. The Lord blesses in it. He comes to his people like the disciples when they're in the ship while it was yet dark, while they were tossed to and fro. He didn't wait until they came to the shore. He came to them where they were. And it's a great expectation. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of places we can come, or in the midst of thoughts here, then there is that which the Lord brings into the soul, which is exceeding comfort and blessing and help to that soul in the midst of that. And may that be a help to some of you who may come in this evening, troubled and tried with many thoughts, many things. The Lord knows those. But what the Lord has granted to you and in his beloved Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the gospel, in the comforts of the gospel, when those things are known, there may be those of you here that don't as yet know those comforts, but will know them. And I'd say another thing here. It's one thing to know about them or about the doctrines of the gospel. It's another thing to know them personally. Here it is in the multitude of my thoughts within me. But then it's thy comforts from the Lord. Not like Esau, he comforted himself that when his dad died, then he'd kill Jacob. What a solemn man. But it's thy comforts, comforts that come from God, and they delight my soul. It is personal. And if there's going to be that then that come in this multitude of thoughts that is going to delight our soul, and those comforts, they will be comforts that we have known personally, that we have handled and tasted and felt of them. And yes, the Lord does bless that which he's provided in the gospel to his children. But when he blesses them, that is not the end of the blessing. And a visit from the Lord is not the end of it. Because here is comforts that are coming into the soul, not for the first blessing, but it were a remembrance of them. It is comforts the Lord has given to his children to have and to hold on to in the midst of this life. And they comfort the soul in the midst of all these multitude of thoughts. As it were, it divides them out. You know, we read in the word that in the multitude of business, a dream cometh through multitude of business. And no doubt you know what it is to have silly, foolish dreams. Some you don't know where they came from. Some you think, yes, I know what triggered that, what happened yesterday. But then I've had several. There have been dreams I've never forgotten. They have a lasting, sanctified impression upon me. You think, how can you tell the difference? They're all dreams. There's by the difference, the different effect, the sanctifying effect. You think of words that we have. We can speak words to one another that are bitter words, horrible words. And then we can use words that are comforting, lovely words to one another. Still words, but they've had a different effect and they've come in a different way. And it's the same with the thoughts. They're still thoughts, but they come in a different way and from a different source. They're not coming out from a corrupted, sinful heart. It's thy comforts. They're coming from the Lord. And we're to discern that difference. No, Isaac, when Jacob deceived him, he was struggling to discern. He said, it sounds like Jacob, but it feels like Esau, and he couldn't discern him. But it's a good thing if the Lord does give us discernment to know, is this Is this from my own evil heart? Is this perhaps even from Satan coming and tempting? Or is it the Lord? My sheep, they know my voice. They follow me. They know the distinction, the difference. And we are to know it in thoughts as well, in what goes on in our hearts. So let us think of the comforts. What are they? The first one I've mentioned is that which comes through the Holy Spirit. When our Lord was to leave his disciples, he said that I will give you another comforter. He was already their comforter. But when he was going away, he was going to give them another comforter, which was the Holy Spirit, and that he would abide with them forever. Those things that are bound up with the Holy Spirit's coming. The first thing our Lord said, that he should receive of mine and should show it unto you. The Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. He is in the background. He is not obvious to the people of God. But the people of God, how they know the Spirit is with them or with the church, is that Christ is made known to them. Christ is precious to them. The Spirit reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you know you have the Spirit. That's how you know that the Lord has sent this other comforter to you. He doesn't comfort in any other way but that he brings the Lord Jesus Christ again before the people of God. When they saw him literally, when he rose from the dead, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, something like the delight here. And so when the Holy Spirit comes and he takes of the things of Jesus and shows them to the soul, that is a comfort to the soul. Thy comfort. It is also a work of the Spirit to bring to remembrance. He shall bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you. We mentioned before that a blessing once received is not the end of the use or the sweetness of that blessing. It's to be brought back to remembrance. The Lord doesn't forget when he's decreed a blessing for his people. He doesn't regret those times that he's visited them, he's helped them. Sometimes we forget. We might forget for a long while. Perhaps you've been asked to write down experience and the pen stays on the paper and you don't know what to write. Another time the Spirit will bring back to remembrance. Something will unlock and the Spirit uses it. And it comes not just in a naked remembrance, but in some dew and unction and sweetness as well with it. And you get a double blessing. Some of you might be asking for a fresh visit from the Lord, and the way the Lord answers it is to bring back a former blessing with sweetness and savour. And to say, you may have changed, but I haven't changed. My blessing is still the same. You may have forgotten that blessing or perhaps wondered whether it was real at all, but it was real and I haven't forgotten it, and here's a little sweetness of it again. That's the work of remembrance, to bring to your remembrance, and it comes from heaven where that has been stored up, a witness in heaven. The Lord will never say to a soul that's had those remembrances like that, depart from me, I never knew you at the last day. Because you've had those tokens that he has known us and he reminds us of things. You know, you might meet a friend you haven't seen for years, 20 years or something like that. And you see this person and you say to him, do you remember when? Do you remember when we did that? When we did that? Oh yeah, I remember that. What an evidence that you're actually together, that you knew each other. And you know the Lord is the same with his people. When they are brought to him at last, he won't deny those times that he knew them and made known that he knew them here below. Another work of the Holy Spirit is power. The disciples were told to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. The apostle said of the Thessalonians that the word came unto them not in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. These are the comforts of the Lord. Do we remember, do we know what it is to have the power of God? Maybe it is tonight what your mourning is, because it's been so long since you have felt that power. The hymn writer says, when he feels his own hard and cold and unfeeling heart, my heart will move at thy command. Because they had known what it was to have their heart suddenly melted or drawn or softened. Job, he says, he maketh my heart soft. How many times will we ascribe that to the work of God and to the comforting work of the Holy Spirit? So the first, thy comforts, is the comforts that come through the Holy Spirit. The second one I'd mention is that that comes through the ministry of the word, through preaching. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, he says that those that preach, they speak unto men for exhortation and for edification. And then he adds this, and for comfort. God has ordained it that through the ministry they are to be comforted. We read that in Isaiah, comfort ye, my people. And the words that our Lord used to begin his ministry was to comfort. We are to expect. If you come in as a poor, hell-deserving sinner and feeling your sin and burden and cast down, miserable and low into the house of God, you've come to the right place to expect that there be comfort, and comfort through the ministry of the word. There's some beautiful examples in the word. You know, you think of Joseph's brothers, how they had dealt so hardly with Joseph. They cast him into a pit and they'd sold him as a slave. And those years later, there they bowed before Joseph. And they remembered their sin. They knew their sin. And especially pitiful is after Jacob had died. And then they thought this, now Joseph will deal hardly with us. Now our father is dead, now Joseph will do what he wants to us. He'll put us in prison, he'll deal hardly with us. And you know, Joseph wept when he heard what they had to say. Their father had, they said to deal kindly with them. But Joseph wept. He hadn't got thoughts like that at all. And we read that he spake kindly unto them. That's how he comforted them. He spake kindly to them. Do you know what it is to come into the house of God and through the ministry the Lord speaks kindly to you? Don't resist it. Don't say, well, I don't deserve that. The brothers tried to do that. They could hardly believe it. They could hardly think that their brother would anything kindly to them and would deal hardly with them. We can think that with our heavenly Joseph, can't we? After all what we've done, even after profession, all our sins, all our behaviour, how can he speak kindly to us? How can he not have hard feelings towards us? But you think how Joseph was. And if Joseph was like that to his brothers, how much more our God to his redeemed people, those whom he has loved with an everlasting love and whom he shed his precious blood on Calvary's tree to redeem. You think of Ruth, another case, coming out of Moab, in a country that was not allowed to go from the 10th generation into the house of God. And she comes and she gleans in Boaz's field. And one thing that she is so softened, that he spake kindly to her. Why takest thou knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? That's what she felt. I'm not like one of thine handmaidens. Is that how you feel? I'm not like one of God's people. I'm a stranger, really. And there's Boaz speaking kindly. What about our heavenly Boaz? Speaking kindly to his people, brought out of a strange country, it may be. Brought out of a nation that was hating the things of God. And here she is, brought amongst the people of God. What a reception. What a reception the prodigal son had with the father. He saw him afar off, he ran. What comfort he had, what joy he had. But we are to expect this through the preaching of the word. You know, my prayer was, and it often is, but I felt it very much today, that I might be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Just the messenger. It'd be the Lord's message to you. And I don't mar it with my own hands. But it comes with the authority of the word. And what the Lord has said to his people and what he conveys to them through the ministry of the word. Expect comfort. Comfort for sinners, mourning sinners, through the preaching of the word. Another way the Lord comforts his dear people is through the scriptures themselves. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, that which was written aforetime is written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. All the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, comfort of the scriptures. You know, when I was under the law, when I was first convicted, I could read all of the scriptures and I couldn't see any comfort. Everywhere I read was law, was it brought me down, it condemned me. But when the Lord blessed my soul, it was as if he gave me new glasses or new way of looking at the word of God. And I found comfort everywhere, even in the law, because the Lord rewrote the tables and he wrote them whole, not broken like mine, and they were put in the ark in Christ. Even at Sinai I could find the gospel. And to know that in all the scriptures, how many of you know what it is to read a passage you never expected or thought that the Lord would ever bless you in that? I'm sure the eunuch, when he was reading in Isaiah and he couldn't understand it, never thought that that very passage he couldn't understand, the Lord would bless that to him. How? Through the ministry of Philip. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me? He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, brought to faith, brought to baptism through the word. And we are to know through the preaching of the word, but in all the scriptures, we're to esteem all the words of the Lord's mouth very highly. And of those words he gives to his children. He gives to them, makes them hear his word. My sheep, they hear my voice and they follow me. Another way that the Lord comforts his people is that of which Paul said when he was once cast down and low. He said that the Lord that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. So what a strange way that the Lord should comfort the great apostle Paul, the coming of one of his brethren. Would you take that as something from the Lord? Ascribe that as a blessing from the Lord? I hope it is so sometimes. That we've had brethren come to us and they've been a source and means of comfort and joy to us. Their very presence has lifted us up and encouraged us and helped us. It was so with Paul. We think of another way, in that way we can be comforted by another, by a wife, or by a husband. You think of the beautiful account in Genesis 24 when the Abraham servant went to get a wife for Isaac. Isaac's mother had died. At the end of that account, when he was given Rebekah, then we read that Isaac was comforted after the death of his mother. It is the Lord that provides a wife, a husband. That's not just a blessing on the wedding day. I hope those of us that are blessed in that way count it a blessing from the Lord many times through our lives. And look at it from the Lord. Some of these are the ways the Lord uses to comfort his people. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he said that there was comfort one another. And in another place, that we are able to comfort others wherewith the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. So the Lord has ordained it amongst his people that they are able to comfort one another, to help one another. And it's amongst those thy comforts of association, of gathering together as iron sharpeneth iron, so the countenance of a man his friend. We're not to just overlook that and think, well, we're just isolated Christians. We don't need one another. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Book of remembrance was written. Iron sharpening iron. What a blessing it is from the Lord that we do have those that we can walk with, commune with. The two on the way to Emmaus, they started off very sad as they walked, but the Lord drew near with them. And that journey was very different in the end, wasn't it? And the Lord revealed himself to them in the end. There's another way of comfort too. David speaks of it in Psalm 23. That beautiful psalm that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." What does he say? Comforts him there. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The Lord's correction on one hand and upholding on the other, they comfort us. I can remember a spot in the road over in Australia, and it was a time where I'd gone a long while and I hadn't heard from the Lord, and I was greatly concerned. Was the Lord with me? Had he just left me? And something had gone wrong. Something had gone wrong. And I forget now what it actually was. But as I was driving along, the Lord dropped in a father's love, chastening hand. And the joy that I felt then to realize the Lord had not forsaken me. He's chastened me. This that has happened, hurtful to the flesh, I didn't like it, but it was as if the Lord says, "I have not forsaken you. The rod is steeped, lash is steeped, beyond thee lays, and softened in his blood." And those are precious times. A child left to itself bringeth its mother to shame. But the Lord, when he doesn't leave his people, and he comes with his rod, and he comes, and it is in love. You know, those of you who are parents, I'm sure you can remember times like I can, where you've had to chasten a child, you've had to smack them, you cause them to cry. Your heart bleeds, you feel for them. And it's not long before you wrap your arms around them and you're comforting them. And the rod and the comfort, they go together. Many times like that. And they've been sweet times. Because a child has a realization of the hurt, the wrong that they've done, but also the love of the parent. And they thank you for it. And it's a sacred way when you can come in with the psalmist in that 23rd psalm. and say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's one of the Lord's comforts. And you know, there's that comfort that the Lord speaks of in John 14. And he says how that he will visit his people, how he will comfort them. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. A beautiful word from the Lord. One of the visits of the Lord. Thy comforts, a visit from the Lord. And those of you who have had one here will know what I mean. So when we read in our text, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. These comforts, thy comforts, those comforts that come from God, those that are unmixed with the things of the world and with all of that multitude of thoughts that are coming in, vain thoughts and empty thoughts, we have thy comforts as very distinct that we think of, that we remember, that are there in the midst of all of these things. Very different, a marked difference. We've spoken several times, I think, here about the need of contrast, where you have something that is very different, like a piece of white paper with a big black coal dust on it. You can clearly see it. If the paper is black, black on black, you can't distinguish the two. But when you see the contrast, and here, do you know the contrast? On one hand, vain, empty, foolish, worldly thoughts, that is man. That is the thoughts the Lord knoweth, those that are vanity. But in the midst of those, he's given you things that you remember, that you know, that you've handled, you've tasted, you've walked in, and you think of those, you remember those. They are a real thing. They're so different than those other vanity and empty thoughts. Those fleeting thoughts that leave you feeling void and empty and defiled and worldly and far off. Those comforts, they have a really different stamp upon them because they come from a different source. They are thy comforts. They come from God. And though what the Lord has given, you know, David says again in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. And I often like to think of that as having a cup of salvation. And into that cup put those comforts we have received, those blessings, those helps, those answers to prayer, in that which the Lord has given us. Again, I remember one time walking through the woods again near us and under a sense of the blessing of the Lord, and it just welled up the last lines of that psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it just springs up when you know something of the taste of the goodness and mercy of the Lord. Sometimes those times don't last long, and quickly they go, and quickly we're enveloped with the world and run with the things of our own heart again. But this word is a precious word because it comes to those with a multitude of thoughts, and in them, there within me thy comforts, within me thy comforts. I have them. My soul, they're not just something I've read in the Word that has never touched me, I've never experienced it, I've never walked through. It's actually within my soul, within me, thy comforts. I want to look then, thirdly, the effect of thy comforts on my soul. Our text says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. delight my soul. The book of Psalms begins in this way. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then we have in Psalm 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The effect of those comforts that the Lord gives his people, they delight in them. You know, Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, and at first he desired the Lord three times that it might be departed, but the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. A blessing from the Lord. He had great views of into the third heavens, but he points the people of God not to that, but to the grace of God. He says, therefore will I rather rejoice in my infirmity, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And he was delighting in the Lord's arrangement, the Lord's blessing, the Lord's help that he had given him. And those comforts that the Lord has given, you think of the work of the Spirit we've spoken of the preaching of the Word, of the reading of the Word, of the visits of the people of God, the communion and fellowship one with another. Have we known something of delight in those things? That is our joy, that has actually rejoiced our heart. There is an effect that the Lord brings with the blessings. They're not just on their own. It moves the heart, delights the heart, causes joy, causes that soul to know these are the things in what I delight in. The Lord says of his people that he delights in them and they delight in him. The solemn thing in the world, those of the world, they do not delight in the things of God, in any of the blessings of the Lord, in anything that is eternal. What the Lord counts blessed and delights them, they do not, and by nature we don't. But the people of God are being brought to delight in something different. And I believe there will be those of you here this evening. You can look back. I can, in unregeneracy. I didn't delight in the things of God at all. I didn't delight in going into the house of God. I didn't want to be there. I knew nothing of the blessings of the Lord. I even knew hardly anything of even the naked truths of the Lord. And it's only by grace, the mercy of God, that he makes a change so that you delight in different things. And the Lord takes away the delight in things that are vain and empty. And you join with the psalmist then. Say, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And there's a difference. Has the Lord made that change in your heart? Has he really done it in mine? Do we know that? And is it our delight to delight in the things of God? Oh, the happiness arising, the life of God within, when the soul is realizing conquest over sin and death, hell. Hymn 735. Precious when we feel that delight, when we've had the help of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. The joy of the Lord is thy strength. Maybe that which we aim for, we desire for. Some people will say, well, to be really religious, you've got to go through life with a long face and be very appear unhappy and bowed down by sin. And very often the Lord's people do, are like that, but it's not their choice. They want to rejoice in the Lord. You know, Jehoshaphat, when they had those of Mount Seir and Ammon come against them, he said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He really did know what to do. But the Lord answered them through the prophet. He said, you will not need to fight in this battle. The Lord will fight for you. And what did they do? They say, well, we'll wait and see what the outcome is. And we're not really deserving of the Lord appearing for us at all. No, they took cymbals and singers, and Jehoshaphat exhorted the people to believe in the Lord, believe in his prophets. And they went forth singing his praises. And the Lord went forth and he delivered them, and he put all their sword against each other, and they didn't need to fight. They had a wonderful deliverance. When the Lord gives his blessing, then that soul is to rejoice. If these should hold their peace, the very stones should cry out. And there's a real delighting in the Lord. Hold fast those times when your soul has really rejoiced in the Lord and delighted in him. And especially when we're compassed about with all these multitude of thoughts that the Lord gives in the midst of that, those sacred comforts from his hand, that he owns what he's given us, that he lets his seal upon it, and he gives that as a sweet, as it were, oasis in the midst of all of our thoughts and all of our life, and that then raises a delight in our soul. That gives us a delight to see that. Here below, the Lord gives me these tokens, these true tokens, and all these other thoughts, all these vain things, they won't destroy it. They won't stamp it out. They can't stamp it out. It is there because it comes from heaven. It's kept safe there. It's let down into the soul every now and again to satisfy that soul that our witness is in heaven. It is thy comforts, the Lord's comforts. It doesn't rest in us. It is not ours. It is ours, but it's kept by the Lord, given to us. Well, may the Lord bless this word. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Timothy Pocock on Monday evening of next week. Let us close with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known, 'tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all now and evermore. Amen.